Well, good morning, friends, and thanks of the Lord. It is good to be together with you this morning as we enter into the Word, study of the Word. And I am really looking forward to today as we talk about whose report will you, and you'll notice on the notes that we send out that I've capitalized you, whose report will you believe? And that's what I want us to really focus on today and build up in our hearts that we can believe the report of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, and act on what he tells us to do. So let me pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for what you've taught us so far in these first two sessions. And we just thank you that today, your word, not my word, but your word is going to come forth and it's going to be powerful in that it is planted inside of people, something that the Holy Spirit does, not that I do, but I just commit myself to speak your word and no other word will I even listen to. We look forward to what will take place in each of our lives today as we receive this good word from you in Jesus' name. So we've been talking about Caleb saying, give me my mountain. And I'm going to defer using the home text that we have for this until we start today's part because it ties right in with what I want to cover today. But I want to review a couple of things from last week. And one of the things that we've talked about every week is that in Numbers 14, where the children of Israel had rebelled against the Lord, they did not want to go back to the land, and the Lord was angry. As he talked about what he was going to do there in verses 20 to 24, Caleb was mentioned. And in verse 24, I just want to read that because this is what we're developing, this spirit that Caleb had. It says, my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and had followed me fully. Now let's just pause a minute on that. Followed me fully. He had a different spirit, and this spirit allowed him to receive from the Lord and to do what? Act on it, to follow him fully. He said, I'm going to bring into the land. And we'll see, and as we studied in past weeks looking at Joshua, this is when Caleb said, give me my mountain. And he took that land, even though there were great obstacles in it, because he had heard the word of the Lord. And he was faithful. He knew the Lord was faithful, and he was being faithful to the Lord. And that's what we talked about last week, us being faithful to our Father. We looked at Matthew 22, where the Father was giving a wedding feast for his Son. How symbolic that is of what we're about to have, the wedding feast of as the bride of Christ. And he went out and sent his servants out and invited a whole bunch of people. But what happened? They all had excuses, something that they wanted to do or needed to do, but everything took priority over that. So that says they didn't have any time for the Lord. Their value system was such that they just did not allow time with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that there are going to be days, not going to be days where we spend more time doing earthly things and we have to really make time in between those things for the Lord. But there are times when we just need to set aside time and spend time with him. And what do we see from that scripture? He sent others out and he was not happy. And so this tells us that my faithfulness to my Lord Jesus is important to him. It is something that he places a priority on. We looked also at Proverbs chapter 20. I think last week I said Psalms. But chapter 20 of Proverbs, verse 6, and the notes were correct, by the way, those of you who receive them. Now, let me encourage you, if you don't receive notes and want them, send Facebook message to Patricia Dudley or to our ministry page or the MWM Wednesday morning Bible study, and we'll get that set up. And if you're listening over the internet, over our website, then just send it to info@mintonwilliams.com, and we'll get you these notes. But in Proverbs 20, verse 6, the New King James reads this way. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But then it says, but who can find a faithful man? And so it's like where Solomon is saying here, everybody says that they are a faithful, good man. And we'll proclaim and say that about ourselves. But then this says, in finishing, who can find a truly faithful man? And that says to me, there are few and far between. So we don't want to be just people who say we're faithful. We want to be known as faithful to our word, committed to do what he's told us to do. And we saw a lot of people in examples we looked at in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament. And Daniel comes to mind. And what was Daniel? Daniel was faithful to the king and got promoted. And then Daniel was faithful to the Lord, which, let me just say, if you're faithful to those that you're being submitted to, that the Lord has put you under, then you're, in essence, being faithful to the Lord as well. So Daniel wouldn't pray as they did, as they had told him he couldn't do. He was faithful to the Lord. And what did that do for him? The Lord's faithfulness showed up when the mouth of the lion was shut and kept shut. And it's really what the king wanted. I read that again in preparing for today. And the king got up that morning after a sleepless night and went in there and said, Daniel. He was anticipating that Daniel's God had saved him and was so pleased that he had. So we then looked at Jesus last week on faithfulness in some other scriptures. And we saw that he told the two servants who were given some talents and worked well with it, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I want to note that the one who got the most and the one who got about half that, what happened? They each received the same commendation, saying, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, faithful servant. Then we saw Jesus talking about if we're going to be faithful to him, that we need to be faithful in the little things before we can get the big things. Now here in this example, the little thing that is being discussed is what? Is money. And how many people are just not faithful with their money in tithing and giving as the word instructs us to do? And this says if we can't be faithful in that, how can we be entrusted then? And how can we expect to be faithful in those larger gifts? And I would say things like the power gifts. So we just see over and over how important it is that in every little thing, we are faithful, and let me say it this way, to his word and to our word. If we say something, we should be like the Father, and it should come to pass. And then finally, we saw a connection between a faithful and a wise steward. There is great wisdom available to help us remain faithful, but there is also the wisdom that tells us, be faithful. And so what does it say? Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. In all your understanding, get wisdom. But yet we see here there is a tie between having that knowledge of our Lord, the you know the Lord part that we've talked about, the word, and what? Being faithful. So a strong tie there. But in all this, we don't want to condemn ourselves, because if we've missed it, what can we do? We can depend on Jesus. I want to read you 2 Timothy 2:13 that we closed last week with. And first in New American Standard, then Passion. If we are faithless or not faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And so we can fall back and receive that repentance. And we're going to even see today in one of the examples, and I trust we'll get there, that no matter what's going on, there's always time for repentance because it can come quickly. But the Passion said, even if we are faithless, if we are faithless, if we don't remain faithful, we can't do what we're really going to be talking about today. He still will be full of faith, thus faithful, for he never wavers in his faithfulness to us. Now that last phrase, we can go to the bank on. He never wavers in his faithfulness to us. So today, let's move on from talking about being faithful to him as we did last week to talking about whose report will you believe? With, again, the emphasis on you and me in this study today. So I want us to go back to Joshua 14, and we're going to begin with verse 6 and just go through this account again. And we'll pick out that part that we're going to focus on in this set today, as I told you we would do. Verse 6, Caleb is told by the Lord. Caleb is telling to Joshua and some others. He says, you know the word which the Lord spoke to the man Moses. And that was what we focused on before. You know the word. concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. And then he goes on in verse 7 and says, when I was 40 years old, Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. This is when he went with the 11 others. And look at this phrase. And I brought back the word to him as it was in my heart. Now, that's the phrase I want us to focus on. But let's just keep reading. But what happened? The people who went up saw the same things he did, but their heart melted, he says in verse 8. But he continues to say, and he says once more, but I followed the Lord my God fully. And we'll be on that one probably next week. So Moses said that day, surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God fully. That's what Moses told him. Now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke for 45 years. So here we are 45 years later. And he says, I'm 85. And he says in verse 11, I'm just as strong today as I was then for going to war, for going out and coming back. And then verse 12, now then, give me my mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this hill country, the New American Standard says. And he acknowledges, even though I know there are giants there, there are fortified cities, I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So we'll stop there. Now let's go back and spend a moment talking about, and I brought back the word to him as it was in my heart. Now, what word was he bringing back? The word of what he saw, or the word that the Lord had given them? So to see this then, let's go back toward Numbers chapter 13, and we'll look at two verses here. Now, one of the things I want you to see is that the word that he brought back to them is still alive here 45 years later, as it was when we're going to read what happened in Numbers 13, and you could also say in Numbers 14. But I want you to think about this. How did he bring back the word which was in his heart? He spoke it. I can't say how important that is enough. It's just what we speak needs to be just like what the Lord speaks. What he believes, what he's calling into being, those things which he does not see, he speaks them into reality. That's how Caleb brought back the word, and it's critical that we see this. Now look in Numbers 13, and we're going to look at 27 and 28, I believe. In 27, and this is talking about those who saw. This is those who did not give the good report. And let me just say here, they did not say what they heard the Lord say. They said all the what? Things that they saw. And it's important to know, Joshua and Caleb saw the same things, both good and bad. So here they are. Then they told him, we went into the land, this is Moses, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they affirmed what the Lord had told them about the land. Yet, look at 28. Nevertheless, or we might say but, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They are very large. And moreover, we saw giants there. Now, we just saw that Caleb said, give me my mountain. I know giants there. I know fortified cities are there. But what? It belongs to me. Give it to me. So what happened to them? Can you imagine them going through this land? Oh my gosh, it looks just like the Lord said. Look at all this stuff. We got to take some of these grape clusters back. They're huge. And then all of a sudden they come upon a fortified city. And what is their conversation changed to? What they are seeing. Oh my, how could we ever get into that wall? And maybe it was even Jericho they were talking about. And then they say, look at the people. They are just almost superhuman. They're giants. And all of a sudden, everything that they had seen that lined up with the word of the Lord was dwarfed because they were magnifying the evil things that they sell. That's why the Lord tells us, magnify, this, or David tells us, magnify the Lord with me. Make him large in your sight. You can't make him bigger than he already is, but you're doing what? You're making him bigger in our sight. And that's what these people, I believe, were not doing. Now, Joshua heard the word, Caleb heard the word, and they brought back not just what they saw, not just what they heard the people focusing on, but they brought back that word as it was in their heart. Now, look with me in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, the 13th verse, we'll just read three verses here, four maybe. It says, Jesus talking to them in parables, he said, I speak to them in parables because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. So by seeing and by hearing, he's saying they could understand, but they don't. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which he said, you will keep on hearing and not understand, and you will keep on seeing but not perceive. And then in 15, for the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears can, and with their ears they can scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. 16 says, but, and I believe this is talking about you and I, blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear, because we are careful what we hear, and we are careful to listen to what he's telling us. Now, this reminds me a lot of Mark 8, and I want to say this because if we are not careful, we too can do what? Can have our being grow dull. In Mark, the 8th chapter, in fact, we'll be going there in a couple of weeks. Jesus said, when they were talking about forgotten the bread, he said, can't you see? Can't you hear? And then he says, can't you remember? And that's what we're going to be focusing on, building that memorial of what happened so that we can recall it when our soulish realm is troubled and we can't do well in this soulish realm. We draw on our spirit man to bring it back up. But the bottom line for these people was they had no faith. They did not consider God faithful to the word that they had spoken to them. Now with that, let's go over to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And again, the title that we've put in this is You. Whose report have you believed? That's what we're really looking at today, to do an examination of ourselves, not condemning again, but to look at what the Lord is saying here. Talking about in this redemptive chapter, the work of the cross, the work that Jesus was sent to accomplish, Isaiah prophesies, who has believed our report? And then it says, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, I want to say to you, these questions have a relationship. You can't believe the word of the Lord, the report, if you don't see it as the word of the Lord that is being sent to you. It has to come alive. And it is the Holy Spirit that makes that happen. That's why he is so important in our lives. Revelation only gets in so that we can believe and act upon it. By what? By taking that word as our own, by receiving the revelation from the Holy Spirit that builds us up and plants that word deep in us so that we can not only believe it, but when we believe it, we do what? We act upon it. And so what we hear and what we believe allows us to act. Then we can stand on it. And when we're standing on it, that's what? When we're being faithful to it. Now, I want to spend the rest of this session today, our time together, and we'll probably take a little longer than 30 minutes today. I'm going to try to go over four examples of hearing the word and acting on them. And in some, we'll see where something took them off that word and they didn't stand. So go to Genesis, the 12th chapter with me. And here in Genesis 12, we'll read the first three verses, and this is the Lord's word to Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. Now, remember, he didn't do this correctly. He didn't follow. He took kinfolk with him. He waited until his father had passed before he really moved on to where he was told. But yet, because he would get himself back on the word of the Lord and move, the Lord considered him faithful. And look at what the Lord said to him. And this blessing is ours when we act and do what he tells us to do as a believer in Jesus. He says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And we've got a situation in our life today where there are some things that have been made available to us that maybe aren't just like what we want. But we are blessing the one that helped us with this opportunity, because we see here that the Lord says, I'll bless him, even though he may not know him. And that's what we're praying for, that he's so blessed in this relationship we have with him now that he will come to the knowledge of Jesus. And verse 3 finishes and says, and I will curse the one who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now we know that's talking about the Lord Jesus. So here, Abram at this point had a word, and he moved believing the word. Now he's 75 years old. Look over in chapter 15 in verse 4. Verse 4 says, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, talking about his servant, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. So he gets a promise of what? Of having a son. Of having a son who will be the heir of him, and who will be the one who is a type of Jesus. So he's got this word. Now look in chapter 16, the second verse. Time goes by. You imagine how excited he is, but now time goes by and nothing happens. So Sarah said to Abraham, behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, and perhaps we may obtain children through her. So what did he do? He chose to listen to another word versus the word of the Lord, and that created all the issues with Ishmael, which carry on to us today. But then finally, in the 21st chapter, look at verse 9. We won't read this. You know the story. We've looked at this account. This is the 22nd chapter, not the 21st chapter. In the 22nd chapter, the 9th verse, then they came to the place, Abraham and Isaac, which after he finally had the word fulfilled, which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar, and he arranged the wood, and he bound Isaac, and he laid him on the altar. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay him. Now here is Abraham. His son is on this altar. He picks up this knife to slay him. How could he do that? Because at this point, he so relied on the word that the Lord had given him, which said what? That through your son that I'm going to give you, who he had now seen come to life, that things are going to happen, that all the world will be blessed through this. He believed that so much that he reckoned, as the New Testament said, that the Lord would just raise him from the dead when he killed him. Saints, that's believing the report of the Lord. I don't even try to think about that. Could I do what he did? Because that's just different. I'm not told to do that. And we don't need to ponder things that we're not told to do. But that just amazes me. And you know that's when the Lord said, don't do it. And that ram, who had been on his way for 3 days there, was caught in the thicket. And that's what they used to sacrifice. But how could he act on this? Because he had the word in his heart. He'd been declaring this word through Isaac. people are going to be blessed. I'm going to be a great nation through him. Isaac, 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 it's all through him, just as the Lord had spoken it. And that faith was kept alive in him. His trust grew. He was faithful. He believed the report. Now let's just back up a second and think about us. Have you ever had things happen and somebody say, well, if it's that bad, I guess we're just going to have to believe God? Or maybe they say, if it's that bad, we're just going to have to trust God. What else can we do? And I'm like, has it really come to that? Shouldn't it be flipped? Something bad happens? What's the word of the Lord on this matter? How about people who say, well, there's nothing else we can do. I guess we just need to pray. My goodness. Talk about getting things in reverse order. We ought to be people of faith who, when things happen, that word of the Lord that has already been planted in us rises up so that we start from a position of power in him. It's not a matter of, do I have enough faith or can I make my faith work? That's the wrong focus. Our focus ought to be on his grace and the enablement that by faith we receive from that grace. And that way, the truth then can manifest in our life. That's what ought to be on our lips. Meditating that word, thinking about the word. Just as he told Joshua, meditate on it, mutter it, say it to yourself over and over. Now, let's go and look at a New Testament example. And I want to point out to you, all these we're talking about today are not born again people. And they have not the Spirit of the living God dwelling in them as you and I do. I want you to go to Mark chapter 5. This is the account of Jairus. We're going to start in verse 22. Jesus has had a great multitude gather around him. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus, it means he was in charge, he was a ruler. He came up and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. He humbled himself, yet he was a ruler, and entreated him earnestly. Now I want you to listen to the word or the report that he brings. It says, my little daughter is at the point of death. That's the fact. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. That's the truth that he is stating. How could he say this? What did he hear? Well, do you think he heard of all the miracles that Jesus was performing? The hundreds and thousands of them? I mean, I can just imagine all the reports that he in the synagogue was hearing. And this word had what? Gotten down in his heart. And so he was bold enough to come to Jesus and say, when you come to my house and lay hands on her, she will get well and live. Now, what did Jesus do? Well, let's jump down to verse 35, because he went off with him. This is when the woman with the issue of blood, who we could also talk about, came up to him and interrupted him. And right at the end of that, verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking to her, there came from the house of the synagogue officials saying, so a death messenger came. I use that purposefully. Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any more? Now, when I read that, my first thought is, was Jesus troubled by this report? Remember, he's walking as a man like you and I, filled with the Spirit, just as you and I have. Was Jesus troubled? No. But Jesus, overhearing what was spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer. Now, any longer is added. Some translations don't even put it. Only believe, or really what he's saying is keep on believing. Don't let fear stop your believing that he had heard in his voice when he said, come to my house. Now, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read just verse 50. Because there's some things in this that I think are key to what Jesus is really telling him. Because what I'll tell you now, what I believe Jesus is saying to him is, don't let go of the report of the Lord that you had and that you brought to me as it was in your heart. Look at Jesus and what he says. When Jesus heard, he answered him and said, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she shall be made well." Now, I've written down several things in my Bible. Jesus answered the death messenger for Jairus. He didn't let him answer it. The Holy Spirit will give us those words to answer. You don't have to do that out of your own head. He will tell you when something evil tries to come against you, how to respond to it. And what he says, what the Holy Spirit will tell us, and what Jesus is telling us, is say what you've already been believing. Don't change it. We speak the word of the Lord to it. And we can do that because he will do what we say. But look at this last phrase, only believe and she shall be made well. Now that really means she's going to be sozoed, which we know healing is a part of salvation. But isn't that exactly the word that Jairus brought to Jesus? The report of all Jesus had done that he heard, he brought that report to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus will perform the word that God has spoken in this word. And Jesus is saying, say what you brought to me as it was in your heart. Don't change that. And things are going to be okay. And isn't that what happened? So what that tells me is don't be like the children of Israel and take your eyes off the Lord and change what is in your heart and let it dampen what's in your heart. Keep what has been placed in your heart. Keep it being spoken because, and I'll use this purposefully, you know the word which the Lord spoke. That's how Caleb started out in this discourse we read in Joshua 14. So Caleb knew the word and he spoke only that word and he didn't change it for 45 years. You can say, yeah, but that's hard. And what I think we'll do is we'll unplug right here because it is difficult because you have someone who is opposing you to try to take that word away from you. And we're going to continue this. I knew when I started putting this together that it was going to be more than one, but I didn't know how. But we're going to stop here, and we're going to pick up next week and look at some more cases of some people who in tough situations received the word and acted on it. And we'll do that, and then I believe there's some other things the Lord will show us about hearing the report of the Lord, keeping it alive in our heart, and acting on it. So let me read Isaiah 53, verse 1 again. My prayer, as you go through restudying what we've talked about today in anticipation even of next week's, ponder this question. Who has believed our report? Now, this is the prophet Isaiah talking about my report, but who is our in this case? The word that the Lord gave him. Who has believed the report of the Lord? And to whom has the arm, the strength of the Lord, the strength of this word been revealed? The strength of this word to accomplish that which you're facing. And that's what we're going to pick up and build on, I believe, next week. We'll just see where the Lord leads us. I trust today has blessed you. Take this and ponder it in your heart, just as you know Caleb did. Don't let the distractions, and you'll see this more clearly in two of the four examples that I didn't get to today, but you'll see much more clearly how the devil comes to steal and to take away that which the Lord has had implanted in our hearts. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. And again, we can, you and I can believe the report of the Lord because the Holy Spirit will be faithful when we meditate on it to plant it in our heart so deeply that it cannot get rooted out. Bless you. We'll be again with you next week.